Our scripture reading this morning is taken from the 12th chapter of Hebrews, verses 18 through 24. Hebrews 12, 18 through 24. For you have not come to a mountain that may be touched, and to a blazing fire, and to darkness and gloom and whirlwind, and to the blast of a trumpet, and the sound of words, which sound was such that those who heard begged that no further word should be spoken to them. For they could not bear the command, if even a beast touches the mountain, it will be stoned. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I am full of fear and trembling. But you have come to Mount Zion, and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to myriads of angels, and to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, who are enrolled in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of righteous men made perfect, and to Jesus the mediator of new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood which speaks better than the blood of Abel.
Good morning. So thankful you are here this morning. We're excited that you're here with us to worship God together. We encourage you to come back for a second service at 5 p.m. We are excited if you're a visitor as well. If you're new to this area or to this congregation, please let yourself be made known. Fill out a visitor's card and get it to someone who can get back to you soon. We are so thankful again that everyone is here, and I'm excited for this lesson. Hebrews has been a wonderful study for me. It's really helped me to grow in my faith and my understanding of God and what He's done for us and in this community here that meets together and in love and adoration towards each and every one of you because of this in-depth study we've been doing. And we hope to continue that today. We're going to take a slightly different approach. It's going to be kind of unorthodox. I do this randomly or seldomly in some of my lessons. It can be beneficial. It can really help out. And I hope that this strategy that I'm taking today with this study can help you as well. If you noticed, we did not pick up in verses 1 and following of Hebrews. We kind of picked up towards the end of the chapter. And that's for reason. And I'll discuss that as we move through this. But first, what I would like to talk about is the context, obviously, endurance. This is what he's trying to encourage these Hebrew Christians about. Endurance, patient endurance, perseverance is another way that sometimes it's translated in your text. This is what he's emphasizing, so don't forget that. If I fail to mention that, which I hope I don't, just remember, this is the context of these chapters, 10, 11, and 12, he's talking to these Christians who are stuck in this place and they're unwilling to move or change. They're deciding to go back to Judaism, to the Jewish system. They're not entering into, they're not fully living in the new covenant because of fear, dread, sin. I mean, you list it. They're unwilling to fully convert and fully move over into the new covenant. With that said, this is what we're going to be talking about today. Two mountains. If you notice the two mountains that were discussed in verses 18 through 24, we'll talk about those mountains more here just in a moment. Norris Dam State Park. When I was a kid, my parents took our family here on some camping trips. We stayed in some cabins when I was around 8 to 10 years old. I have some photos that Dad recently brought to the house. He was doing some work at the house. He brought some old photos, and I got to look through them. And there's pictures of me when I was a little boy and my brother and sister riding horses and doing different things at this state park. And it's some of my favorite camping memories of all time. When I was about 8 to 10 years old, Dad could probably confirm this for me, but We went to Norris Dam. We got to stay in a cabin. The cabin was wonderful. You had a full refrigerator. You could fill it up with food, and we did, and we had a great experience and great time. You can go on certain adventures. You get to meet with people that instruct you and help you to learn about nature and the beauty of it. We had just such a fantastic time. I'll never forget it, and I hope to one day take my kids to Norris Dam State Park for this wonderful camping experience. And that's my review of this Norris Dam campground experience we had growing up. It was awesome. And if I could do it again, I would love to take the kids there. And it was a wonderful camping experience for me. And that's something I'll never forget. So we're in the time of season that people are starting to talk about that, starting to mention, hey, is it a good time to go camping? Should we wait until the weather changes a little bit more and maybe get a group here at church to go camping somewhere? That's in the works, and we're discussing that, and that would be something that would be really cool to do. I had another camping experience. I was much older, 19, 20 years old. Me and my buddies, I mean, we're just growing into manhood. We're becoming men. We're strong. We're fit. Let's go into the woods and let's go camping. Absolutely. What are you going to take? A thin little sleeping bag and a small little thin tent. And all five of us went out there and we were going to stay the night and rough it in the woods, build a fire, cook some hot dogs. And we did that. And it was pretty cool until nighttime came. And when nighttime came, it dropped to 30 degrees outside. I did not have on two layers of clothes. I did not have on two layers of socks. And it was a horrible camping experience. It was dreadful. It was awful. It was use whatever word you want to associate with how horrible this experience was, and that was it. I mean, I didn't know if I had toes the next day. And so I dipped down into the sleeping bag, I covered myself up, and I froze all night long. And so did my friends. Let me just say this. If you go camping, make sure you check the temperature, and if it's anywhere from 30, early 30s or late 30 in that temperature range, don't go unless you have the right equipment and preparation. I did not. And I will never forget that experience as well. The text that was so capably read for us, verses 18 through 21, there's a mountain. And this mountain is called Mount Sinai. And Mount Sinai came to represent everything that is earthly, physical, temporal. It came to represent the old covenant and the Jewish system. And look at some of the ways that it's described in verses 18 and following. Let's just notice this for a moment. You have not come to the mountain that may be touched and that burned with fire, and to blackness and darkness and a tempest and the sound of a trumpet. So this place is dreadful. It's black. It's dark. It's windy. It burns with fire. This is not your typical or ideal vacation spot. People should not be staying here because of how awful it was. And it was so terrible at this place that, notice this in the text. The people said in verse 19 that those who heard it, they begged that the words should not be spoken to them anymore. They could not, here's our theme, endure the command, which was what? If anyone comes as such as a beast who touches the mountain, it shall be stoned or shot with an arrow. And then verse 21, so terrifying was the sight of this mountain that Moses said, I'm exceedingly afraid and trembling. So this place represents death, gloom, terror, and fear. The people, instead of Hebrews 10, verses 19 through 25, instead of being able to approach God and come near to God, what are they doing? They're drawing back from God. Remember chapter 10, verses 38 and 39? Turn your Bibles quickly there for a moment, because the context is going to be pretty key and important as we work through this text. Verses 38 and 39, the just shall live by faith, but, chapter 10, verses 38 and 39, if anyone does what? Draws back, draws away from God, my soul has no pleasure. And then he encourages them, we are not of those who draw back to what? Destruction. That's the first mountain. Turn back to chapter 12. Let's look at the second mountain. The second mountain, because the first one's Mount Sinai. That's where the Israelites received the law in Exodus chapter 19. This place was awful for them. It was terrifying. We just read it. Now let's look at verses 22 and following of chapter 12. And let's see this other mountain. But you have come to Mount Zion, into the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, a myriad of company of angels, to the general assembly, church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven, to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect. Think about how wonderful this place is in comparison to the former mountain, which was awful. This place is great. I mean, you have a great company of people there with you. God the Father's there. These are individuals whose names are registered in heaven. They're getting a great taste of what heaven is going to be like staying on this mountain. And the best part of all, I mean, we could walk through all of this. We don't have time, but the best part of this mountain is verse 24. It's Jesus. Jesus is the mediator of this new covenant. And to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. Remember back in Genesis chapter 4, verse 11, Abel's blood cried out for justice. Jesus' blood speaks of much better things. Go back through the book of Hebrews and note all the better things. Jesus is better, the covenant is better, the sacrificial system is better, the ability to approach God and have direct access to God is much, much better than what the Israelites had. This place, which is in reference to the church, is called the heavenly Jerusalem. I mean, he associates all of these wonderful terms with it. This place is not terrible. This place is wonderful. I love you. Sometimes the Bible, when it says, I love you, or calls people beloved, it says that to say, look, I love you, but I'm about to say something real hard. There are some people in our community, maybe in our neighborhoods, at the workplace, maybe here in this congregation. They're camping out on the first mountain. And they've never left. We're going to call this first mountain that people camp out on Mount Misery. People who live here in their lives are miserable. They're miserable, they're tired, they're depressed, they're sad. We're going to learn here in a little bit, they're bitter. They avoid any relationship with God, any connection with Him. These people are stuck on this mountain, which is in reference to Sinai, but we're going to call it Mount Misery. And they've never got off this campground, and they're stuck there. Then you have those, and I hope that this is everyone at the end of the day, who are on Mount Blessing. This is in representation of Mount Zion. This is the place that God wants us to be camping out on. He wants us to be living here. He wants us to be in verses 22 through 24. And these individuals are living fruitful, productive lives for the Lord. They're happy, they're blessed, they're joyful. They see the big picture. They're not stuck in the immediate. They're not focused on the here and now, but they see the big picture of life. They know where they're going. They see the path, and they're walking it. This is Mount Blessing, and this is where God wants us to be living our lives. But unfortunately, and again, the sad truth is there are some people who are willing and choosing to camp out here. Let's just look at how these people are living their lives. So the unorthodox fashion that I was talking about, sometimes it can help you when you're trying to understand a passage, not to walk through it chronologically, but to walk backwards through it or to pick up pieces. And this is what makes the Bible so unique and wonderful, is God didn't necessarily write this to be written or read or studied straight through from Genesis on. No, you have to jump around the text. You got to find out when you get to Genesis chapter 12, well, who's Abraham? What does the New Testament say about Abraham? And that's the same way we're going to approach chapter 12 to give us a better understanding. People who are on Mount Misery, we'll deal with this mountain first. Let's back up in the text. So we started in verses 18, but I want you to begin in verse 15 for a moment. Verse 15 of Hebrews chapter 12. Verse 15 says, looking carefully lest anyone should fall short of the grace of God. People who are camping out on Mount Misery, they are not careful to pay attention to their spiritual condition. They're focused on external things, physical things, worldly things, sinful things. And so they never care or consider, how am I doing spiritually? They don't look carefully at their spiritual life. And what happens to these individuals? They fall short of the grace of God. That word for falling short means they lag behind, they fall behind. And if you've ever been on a traveling trip or hiking trip, if you have one of your participants or one of your members who's lagging behind, it slows everybody else down. And it causes hindrance. Well, let's look at these individuals, these campers on Mount Misery for a moment. So they fall short of the glory of God, but look what springs up in their life. Lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many people become defiled. People, or the campers on Mount Misery, are miserable individuals who are also bitter people. What are they bitter about? They're bitter about life, they're bitter about church, they're bitter about work, they're bitter about kids, they're bitter about neighbors, they're bitter about everything. And if you spend enough time with these individuals, what? It can become wearisome. And you go, man, they're just miserable, complaining about everything, always looking at life in a negative fashion. You know why they do that? Because where they live their life, where they're camping out, is a miserable place to be. They're miserable. They're bitter. And it begins to affect others. Turn your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 29. I want you to read verses 18 through 21, because Moses actually spoke about this in the book of Deuteronomy. So turn back to the first five books, the last one being Deuteronomy. I want you to notice this very quickly before we run out of time. Deuteronomy 29, verses 18 through 21. So that there may not be among you a man or woman or family or tribe. Who's that represent? That's everybody. Verse 18 of Deuteronomy 29. Whose heart turns away today from the Lord our God to go and serve the gods of these nations. And that there may not be among you a root bearing bitterness or wormwood. And so that it may not happen when he hears the words of this curse that he blesses himself in his heart, saying, I shall have peace even though I follow the dictates of my heart, as though the drunkard could be included with the sober. The Lord would not spare him, for then the anger of the Lord and his jealousy would burn against that man, and every curse that is written in this book would settle on him, and the Lord would blot his name out from under heaven. So Moses already warned about individuals falling short of the grace of God and becoming bitter in their hearts. They end up turning away from the Lord. We're going to come back to that at the end of our lesson here in just a few minutes. But just notice for a moment, God is consistently warning these people, get off of Mount Misery. Leave this place. Stop camping out there because it's going to develop bitterness in your heart. Bitterness towards what? Everything in life. And probably the saddest reality of all of this, you're distant from God. You're distant from God. No wonder you're miserable. You can't see and you can't accept or receive all the wonderful blessings God has in store for you because you're stuck on the wrong mountain. You view God as dreadful and mean and cruel, and then you go and live that way. Don't camp out here. It's not where God wants people to stay. Sad truth is, it's a harsh reality. You can't hide what kind of camper you are. It's evident. It's very clear. And it's sad. Get off of this mountain. Get off of this place. And if you back up in Hebrews chapter 12 as well, these individuals try to avoid at all cost any correction or discipline from the Lord. They try to avoid and excuse any correction, discipline, which the text tells us this is training. And this training is very beneficial for us. It can produce fruit in our lives. But these people who are stuck on Mount Misery try to avoid all of that. Look back at Hebrews 12, because then he says, he warns them in verse 16, where we're picking up next. Lest there be any fornicator. Why would he call it fornication? Because you're fornicating with worldly pleasures. Profane person like Esau, who for one morsel of food sold his birthright. For you know that afterward, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place for repentance, though he sought it diligently with tears. So people who are on Mount Misery, not only are they bitter, but they're also self-serving. They're immediate. They want pleasure here and now. Why? Because they're miserable. They don't see any benefit in the future. There's nothing good in the long term for these people, so they want all the good that they can get here and now. They want immediate gratification, just like Esau. Why did Esau sell his birthright and not inherit the blessing? Do you know what it was for? Soup. For a bowl of Campbell's soup. You call it stew in the text. Some say it's red stew. I'm not trying to get into the wording or the Hebrew language. But just simply put, it was soup. He sold all the wonderful blessings. And he was stuck on Mount Misery. Afterward, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected. And he sought it with many tears. Why? Because he was living in misery. And he wanted immediate gratification. I want it here and now. I'm hungry. Give me that stew. I don't care what the cost. Give me my worldly pleasures here and now. People who are camped out here, that's the way they live. God wants us to be camping out on Mount Blessing. In Mount Blessing, let's back up in the text. These individuals understand the profit and value of God's correction. If you can, just note this because we don't have time to read it. Psalm 19:12, these individuals understand that they can't understand their own errors. They need God to reveal the secret intentions of their heart. Show me the desires of my heart. Make sure it's wanting to camp out here, that it wants good things in life. So these individuals find the profit and value of God's correction. I encourage you to go read the book of Proverbs, chapter 3, verses 11 and 12, because he quotes it here. But read it in context, because the whole book of Proverbs is a father writing to his son saying, don't despise the correction or the chastening of the Lord. It's a good thing for you. How is it a good thing? Let's look at it. Verse 7. If you endure, of chapter 12 in Hebrews, if you endure, there's our theme, chastening, discipline, correction from God, God deals with you as sons. Any good father is going to correct and discipline their son. Furthermore, we have had, verse 9, fathers who corrected us and we paid them respect, shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they, our earthly fathers, indeed for a few days chastened us as seemed best to them, but God chastens us and disciplines us for our profit. It's beneficial. It's valuable for us. And people who are camping out on Mount Blessing, they understand that. They seek that. People here, I don't want correction. I don't have it. You're telling me I have things in my life I need to fix? Give me a break. Do you know who I am? Do you know how intelligent I am and all the things that I know in this world? I mean, you're trying to control me. God's trying to dictate my behavior and how I should live. Who is He? People on Mount Blessing, that we may be partakers of His holiness. That's the purpose of God's discipline. What does this word holiness mean? Holiness has to do with purity, but at its basic root, and I encourage you to do word study in holiness because it's so wonderful, that the information that you receive. In its basic essence, holiness has to do with being distinct, different, unique, special. You know, people on Mount Misery, they don't want to be different than the world. They don't want to live holy lives. They don't want to be distinct or different or odd and weird and strange. I just want to fit in with the crowd. I just want to sound like everyone else. I just want to get stuck watching the news like everyone else. I want to become political. I want to tell everyone that I know what's best in politics and in religion. You know, when I listen to a sermon, I grade it from A to D or A to F. And sometimes I hear good ones and sometimes I don't. Oh, you can do a better job? Then why don't you do it? People on Mount Blessing, they understand what it produces, holiness. They want to be different than the world. They don't want to just be like everyone else. They just don't want to sound like everyone else. They want to sound like their Heavenly Father. They want to look like Jesus, and they understand the profit and value in God's correction because God is training you and equipping you to look just like His Son. Now, no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, this is what people on Mount Blessing understand. Afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness only to those who have been trained by it. I encourage you to look at that word for training and go back to John 15 and see how Jesus will prune things in our life so that we can be more productive, producing more fruit. God wants to train us and is very beneficial for us. Now, people on Mount Blessing understand that they will face suffering, but they see the big picture. They're not focused in the immediate, and they become just like God's Son, Jesus. So let's back up in verses 2 and 3 of Hebrews 12, and let's see how Jesus endured suffering. We look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So how did Jesus endure all the ridicule, mocking, scourgings, beatings, people spitting in His face? How did He make it through that? For the joy. He saw the big picture. He knows where the story ends when you're on Mount Blessing. People here, they can't see that. Who were the biggest opponents to Jesus in the gospel accounts of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? The Pharisees, scribes, religious leaders. What do you think their problem was? They camped out here and were unwilling to get off of this mountain. If you look back at the text of Hebrews chapter 12, since we basically out of time, we're going to start wrapping this up. I encourage you to do in-depth study on this. But I want you to notice something that we read that the writer's trying to get across in verse 22 of chapter 12. He says, you have not come in verse 18, but in verse 22 he says, you have come. That's the same word for proselyte, someone who's been converted. And so he's saying, in your conversion, when you became a Christian, when you were a part of this new covenant, you have come, you have been converted, you have been transferred on off of this mountain and onto this one. And this is a wonderful place to be. Application simple for us today. The mountains are calling. Some people are going to choose Mount Misery. Some people are going to stay and camp out and live their lives on that mountain that was terrifying, that God never intended to be eternal. And then there's going to be some people that decide, you know what? I'm tired of living this way. I don't like living like this. I want to look more like God's Son, and I want to look more like the individuals who have gone on before us who live by faith. Because I know where their story ends. And their story ends on Mount Zion. But the question becomes, which will you choose? I love you. I encourage you today, get off of the first mountain. Not only is it affecting your life, but it's affecting the church community here. And it can become a real problem and a hindrance. And if you go back and read Hebrews chapter 12, the ultimate issue that people had on Mount Misery is they didn't want God's word spoken to them. They begged to not hear the word of God. But those on Mount Zion, if you read verse 25 again, God is speaking to us. And he wants us to obey his voice. And what he's telling you is get out of that sinful life. Get off of that mountain that is corrupting you, that's negatively affecting your life. Come to the one where there's blessing, where there's salvation, where there's deliverance, where there's abundance. That place has a good ending. Please choose that campground. If we can help you in any way this morning, if you need to be baptized for the remission of sins, if you need to confess sins and be converted and come back to the Lord, we would love to help you this morning. Come forward as we stand and we sing.